The Irish Times, election 2011.
I'm Hugh Linehan. This is the Irish Times election 2011 podcast. Later, Michael Marsh will be teasing out what the opinion poll numbers might mean in terms of actual results after the vote on Friday. We'll also be profiling the constituency of Meath East. We'll be hearing from independents Maureen O'Sullivan and Gerry Kelly. But first, Paul Cullen joins us to review the final leaders' TV debate of the campaign.
It's the normal spoof that we get from
the online. Spoof. It's not spoof. Answer the question.
And that's why answer part of his legacy.
But my, look, I know what you're going to say again. 14 years, I have a five-point plan. Let's get Ireland working, and you put your fist up in the air. We need a bit more than that now in terms of the future of this country. I asked a simple question. Why didn't you give the details to your journalists in terms of your budget plan?
It's all there on www.finnegale.ie.
It's not all there.
This was the last debate of the campaign occurring just 3 days before polling days. There's a question there first whether it's happening so late that people's minds are already made up. But it did feature the three main party leaders in debate with each other in English for the first time. So it certainly had good attraction for people to tune in, especially the undecided. It was a 90-minute format, perhaps a bit long for some people. We've had a lot of discussion of the issues, the big issues, and many of them are very meaty financial topics, which are sometimes hard to follow, let's face it. But I think you'd have to say that nobody came off a loser. Some people gained more than most. You could perhaps say that Micheál Martin showed again that he was the best debater, but again, he has the most ground to make up, and he has this millstone around his neck, which is Fianna Fáil's presence in government over the last 14 years and his involvement in that government. Eamon Gilmore took a softer line, perhaps, than we've seen earlier in the campaign, perhaps responding to criticism of some of the negativity that was perceived to be around the Labour campaign, and I think he benefited from this, and his message of balance and caring for the less privileged and the weaker members of society is one that would be getting home to his potential voters. And then Enda Kenny, in pole position, really it's the same as it's been right through the election. Is he going to slip up on a banana skin? And he didn't do that. He sometimes was bested by Micheál Martin in debate, but he was comfortable and he made his own points and he made them forcefully. There's an interesting theme running here in Fine Gael over the last week. This topic of 1916 and the 100th anniversary that's coming up in a few years' time, which most people wouldn't have considered because we're too busy dealing with the day-to-day woes that we have to face. It cropped up during Leo Varadkar's fundraiser, private fundraiser in a Dublin restaurant last week. The version I heard of his speech was that he mentioned that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael could actually stand shoulder to shoulder proudly outside the GPO in 2016, having got rid of our deficit and released ourselves from the strictures of the IMF. And he was obviously reaching out to some common ground. Labour's policy is somewhat different because they want more time for us to deal with the financial requirements of that deal, and we could still be facing a deficit in 2016 according to Labour's plans. But of course, who knows whether we will manage to reduce the deficit to less than 3% as aimed. But certainly, I think we're going to see a lot more about vision. Fine Gael have had time to think about what they're going to do in government, and they're even going to announce their plans for the first 100 days before the election. And I think we'll hear a lot about vision and a lot about targets, because they can look forward to a comfortable 5 years in government. That seems almost certain at this stage. Enda's been around in politics almost 40 years, and it's strange, even people in media and many political circles aren't entirely familiar with him. I think his private life is very private, his family life. He came to leadership quite late. He almost lost it last year. His hold on the party seemed very, very shaky until 6 months ago. And now he finds himself Taoiseach, and he's still something of a conundrum. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of a leader he turns out to be. Fine Gael presented a very collegiate group leadership approach to this election. They've emphasised the range of policies and the range of talent within the party, and there's no doubt there's a lot of ambition in that party. Will Enda be able to satisfy all that talent? Will he be able to give the right jobs to the right people and let them at it? Or will he want to lead from the front himself? How long will he want to stay around? He's going to turn 60 soon enough. So 5 year term, that would take him up to retirement age. So he's very energetic. I was surprised being out on the canvas with him. He was a lot smaller than I had reckoned, you know, although that often happens with politicians, I think, because the camera deceives. And he was also an awful lot more youthful and energetic and composed in himself, in his body, than I had expected. Found him very natural with people. And certainly he's very well liked. On the respect stakes, perhaps a little less when the times have been difficult. But there'll be no gainsaying what's going to happen to Fine Gael in this election. You know, it's going to be a monumental performance by the party, either their best or their second best in its history. I know there's been squabbling during this election campaign, and it's generally been interpreted as being a bad outcome for Labour, and their polls ratings have suffered, and that's been given as the reason for it. Fine Gael don't seem to have suffered from the squabbling, although they participated in it as well. But I don't really feel that these disagreements have been about core issues, and I don't think they've penetrated to personal relationships. And certainly in the last week, you've seen elder statespeople like Rory Quinn and Michael Noonan coming out and saying, well, listen, this is just election business. We've been around this block. We know what it's like. The personal differences are not there. And it's very clear to me that the chemistry is certainly there among substantial proportions of both parties to do a deal that they would intend would last for 5 years. Whether that will satisfy everybody in that party, in particular in Fine Gael, because I think that there are divergences of view within Fine Gael, is another question. And whether the temptation that might arise after a very good election performance at the weekend to do a deal with perhaps a few independents, perhaps a few Greens or someone who have already shown their relative stability in government mightn't be too great. That's still open to question. So there's still a lot to play for. But you'd have to say at this stage the most likely outcome is a Fine Gael Labour coalition with a big majority.
The clock is ticking and election 2011 is approaching, less than 2 days to go to the final and most important poll. But I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Michael Marsh, Professor of Comparative Political Behaviour and also Pro Vice Provost of TCD. And also, if I may say so, Michael, a master of the dark arts of sophology and extracting meaning from the numbers, which everybody has been frantically crunching over the last 3 weeks. Lots of talk, less so over the last couple of days, of a Fine Gael overall majority or a minority government being a possibility, lots of extrapolations out of the various polls about what kind of seat numbers we'd be looking at. What do you think of it all?
I think it's been a disappointing campaign. We might have expected a few more fireworks. I think once the campaign is finished, anybody would be hard put to remember anything from it. It's been very lackluster. Unlike some campaigns, we have seen movement. We've seen clear movement upwards by Fine Gael, and we've seen clear movement downwards by Labour. What we're still not sure about is whether that movement upwards by Fine Gael has plateaued. Is it now levelling off, or is it likely to have gone on up all this week? We've polled today, two polls I think today, but those will have interviewed over the weekend and into Monday. So we've still got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for people to think and change their mind. So more might happen. But at the moment, I think it's looking as if Fine Gael is probably levelling off at an unprecedentedly high figure for them.
With your experience of previous campaigns, I'm interested about that conjunction of a lackluster campaign with not a lot going on, but some movement in the polls themselves. And I wonder, in your judgment, what would be driving those changes?
Rather more uncertainty going into that than we've normally had. Typically, many people have made up their mind before the campaign starts. And with a large body of hitherto loyal Fianna Fáil voters not going to vote Fianna Fáil this time, I think a lot of those have been much more uncertain about where they're going. A lot of people probably just angry, concerned, worried about the future of the economy, or uncertain about where to go this time. The local TD who fixes or doesn't fix the potholes is probably a less reliable help for your vote this time. You know, it's not the good guide. So a bit more thought needed by voters, and therefore they've been churning away. Now, what they make up their mind on, talking to other people, listening to what commentators say that other people have said, but mostly probably talking to one another, a few sound bites from the television, and the fact that they now have to decide. There's odd business when people say, well, if there were an election tomorrow, how would you vote? That's a construction. They haven't thought about it until somebody's asked them, and now it's for real. Now it's Thursday. So when they're being pushed to make up their mind now by an opinion pollster, it's more likely to be something that they have reflected on a little, at least.
How much does the fact that this general election is the first one since the 1920s in which Fianna Fáil is not the largest party, or likely to be the largest party after the outcome, how much does that affect one's ability to predict what's going to happen in certain constituencies in the 4th and the 5th and the 6th and the 7th counts in terms of transfer patterns and who might be in the toss-up for the final seat?
The biggest difference in this election is we're likely to see Fianna Fáil getting shares of the quota that it's never got before. you know. So if you would look back in the past and say, well, if Fianna Fáil get 0.4 of a quota, what's the likelihood that they'll win a seat? It'd be pretty hard to find places where they got 0.4 of a quota before. So you're predicting beyond your data a little. And then there is clearly some uncertainty, but well, if Fianna Fáil are eliminated, where will their transfers go? Because they don't normally get eliminated. We've other sorts of data on that, from polls, from exit polls, and so on. But it is an uncertainty.
And what does that data say? For example, there are very many three-seat constituencies where, if the current polls are correct, Fianna Fáil are not going to be in the running for a seat, but there will be half a quota or more of votes available. People say that Fianna Fáil traditionally, you know, they just vote the ticket and don't go further. Might that change this time?
Well, I don't think that was entirely true. The evidence from our election studies of 2002 and 2007 demonstrated that I think just about the most common thing for Fianna Fáil to do was not to do anything once they'd voted Fianna Fáil. But that was a minority, very much a minority of Fianna Fáil voters. And the next, the most popular second choice was Fine Gael. Many people say, well, you couldn't possibly vote for Fianna Fáil and then Fine Gael. But more Fianna Fáil voters did that than picked any other alternative, even if you just look at constituencies where all sorts of options were possible. Fine Gael is still the preferred one. So it's not surprising now people are not voting Fianna Fáil anymore that they're voting Fine Gael.
I wonder, would the hardcore, though, of Fianna Fáil voters, if Fianna Fáil is left at 18% of the vote, are they perhaps less likely to transfer to other parties?
We also know from looking at who tends to go on and vote for other parties and who doesn't, and looking at exactly the same thing in Scotland, where they've just used the same electoral system, that one of the things that determines whether you go on and vote for another party is partly how many candidates your own party is putting up. And when your own party is only putting up one candidate, people are much less inclined to just vote for that candidate and stop. They feel they're in there now, they've got to make a few marks on the ballot paper. So even Fianna Fáil voters with one candidate, I think, are probably much more likely now to vote for other parties afterwards. And my guess would be that more of them will go on and vote for Fine Gael than vote for anybody else.
The other point, I suppose, would be, and the huge element in terms of trying to predict what the outcome might be, is how transferable all the other parties are, that a lot of the national polls haven't gone into that in a lot of detail, although more local and constituency polls have done more work in that area. And the shape of the next Dáil is likely to be decided by how many people transfer to Fine Gael, how many people transfer to independents. You've pointed out that the Green Party have a sort of a resource of transferability, if such is a phrase, much better than, say, Sinn Féin have, and they've had a seat bonus in the past. Is that likely to play out as an important factor?
I think those things are important. It is the case that if you just picked the people in the top places on the ballot and gave them the seats, so in a four-seater you pick the top four, I think something like 80% of the seats would go to the same people. So the transfers really confirm first preferences, and it's not surprising that second preferences look a bit like first preferences in as much as they can. But there are exceptions. The Greens have been one who've done much better than you would expect, and Sinn Féin are another who probably do much worse than you would expect, as do independents. But independents aren't really a group, they're just a collection of individual people. But they don't tend to transfer to one another, and the polls are, even this time, are indicating that people who say they're going to vote independent are not going to use that for the next choice to anything like the degree that we might expect if they were a coherent and cohesive group. So these transfers will matter, and I think the most popular parties for transfers will be Labour first and foremost, which will give them a big bonus, I think, and secondly Fine Gael.
Finally, can I ask you to put your head on the line and, based upon your analysis of the very many polls we've had over the course of the campaign, your predictions for what the party strengths will be?
In broad terms, if Fine Gael can come in around 40, and I think that's both what the trend and the latest polls might lead us to suspect, 39, 40, I think they'll be in the high 70s. They'll be up somewhere around the figure that Garrett Fitzgerald said he couldn't see beyond something like 78. If they got 45% of the vote, they'd be well beyond 78. But at the moment, it's looking more like somewhere around 40. So I think the high 70s, but I don't think they'll break the 80 barrier. Fianna Fáil will do well to get above 20. And I think that Labour will get their best ever seat share, which will be well into the 30s. After that, Sinn Féin, I would still think around 10. Independents pushing up towards 20. And the Greens, maybe one on a good day.
It'll certainly be a Dáil unlike any we've seen for a very, very long time. Michael Marsh, thanks very much for joining us.
The Irish Times, Election 2011, Constituency Profiles.
Marie O'Halloran, Meath East. This constituency has 9 candidates and last time around had a 64% turnout, which is expected to be replicated this time around. County Meath is a county that has been fairly savaged by boundary revisions, and in 2007 it was a 5-seater but was cut up into 2 3-seaters. This time round, Meath East has lost a whopping 10,000 votes. Whole section of the coast has gone into Louth, and that would include Laytown, Bettystown, Julianstown, Donnacarney, into areas like Donore and Mornington. They've all moved into the Louth constituency. So this is a huge blow for 2 of the contenders in this election, this 3-seat constituency, the sitting Fianna Fáil TD Thomas Byrne and Labour Senator Dominic Hannigan. They will lose 10,000 votes. The consolation prize for them is that Kells Town has been taken out of Meath West and into Meath East. While this is a population of 10,000, it has a electorate of about 7,500. The only candidate who is guaranteed, although the candidates themselves hate to hear this, to be elected is Shane McEntee. He won the by-election in 2005 caused by the retirement of former Taoiseach John Bruton, and he held the seat in 2007. He's Knobber-based and is expected to hold on very comfortably. After that, it's open season on the remaining 2 seats, and geography could be a crucial factor. The number crunchers will tell you that the constituency is divided north and south, and there's a clear divide. At the moment, there is no sitting TD in the south of the constituency. Well, once former Minister of State and current TD, Mary Wallace for Fianna Fáil, has bowed out of the campaign, so there will be no TD there in the south. And it is expected that the south end of the constituency, which would include the towns of Dunshaughlin, Dunboyne, Rathoath and Ashburn, the expectation is that that part of the constituency will elect a resident TD. Currently, in that part of the constituency, they've a councillor, Nick Killian, for Fianna Fáil. Some of Mary Wallace's poll-topping performance, she got almost 11,000 votes in the last election, had a high, consistent personal vote. The question is whether that personal vote will be retained and passed to Fianna Fáil contenders, and in that case, Nick Killian could be a dark horse down in that part of the constituency. He's a community activist, has been around for quite some time. He's a councillor, and in that case, he could be a dark horse in this constituency. It is expected that also, like everywhere else, while Fianna Fáil is in for a hard time, that there are sufficient votes to elect a TD. Thomas Byrne in the north is in difficulties because of the loss of a huge swathe of his constituency, but he is young, has a high profile, is popular and has moved into the Kells area seeking votes and is expected to get quite a support there. Senator Hannigan, who had been expected to win the last time around, lost out to Thomas Byrne because of rigid and very strict vote management in Fianna Fáil, which saw 2 Fianna Fáil TDs romp home, Mary Wallace and Thomas Byrne. This time around, it's do or die for Dominic Hannigan. He loses out with the transfer of swathe of his population, his potential electorate into Louth. So he now has an address down in the Dunshaughlin area and is building up a profile in that area. The other contenders in this are Regina Doherty, who's a Fine Gael councillor who came out of nowhere in 2007 and won a very respectable 4,500 votes. She is an IT consultant, has a background in business and is expected to do extremely well. Sinn Féin in 2007 polled a respectable 1,695 votes. And while not in contention, Michael Gallagher's transfers will be significant. It is thought possible that they could go to the Labour candidate, Dominic Hannigan, and also of interest will be the votes of Seán Ó'Buachalla, the Green Party candidate, who last time around got 1,300 votes. There's also an independent Joseph Bonner. The votes of independent Sharon Keoghan will also be of great interest. She could affect the votes of Thomas Byrne. Sharon is a former member of the Fianna Fáil executive and resigned from the party when she failed to get selected at convention. However, she is based in the same area as Thomas Byrne and the considerations of geography dictated that there could only be 1 Fianna Fáil candidate in the north and 1 in the south. at the end of the day, the voting is around whether it will be a one Fianna Fáil, one Fine Gael, one Labour, or could Fine Gael take two seats in this constituency.
The Irish Times, election 2011, independent candidates.
Gerry Kelly, Dublin South Central. I'm running as an independent because I'm offering real change. I want to see a complete change to the way we operate our political system. It's a shambles and it keeps failing. We're the only Western country to have four generations of young people have to pack up and leave to find employment. I want real power given back to the people. The elite do not know how to run this country. The people do. I want to see what we call direct democracy. I want a real republic. They use this in countries like Switzerland and other places. It works fine there. Our system doesn't work. There's no point trying to mess around with a system that doesn't work. It's a failure. It needs to be replaced. It can't be improved. That's why I'm running as an independent candidate. I'm offering real change.
Maureen O'Sullivan, Dublin Central. Well, there are two words that will describe why I'm involved in politics and why I'm standing in this election, and those two words are Tony Gregory. I met him in the 70s. We were friends. We worked on a number of things together, and I was with him on all 14 campaigns. So our decision as the group of canvassers, supporters, friends, his brother Noel, was to defend his seat after his very sad and untimely death, which we did, and we won. And we're also supporting my position in this election today, in the general election. Tony was guided by the principles of social justice and fairness and equality, and that's what I have been guided by in my short time in the Dáil. And if elected, I hope that I would try to continue what Tony had done so successfully as an independent TD for 27 years.
That's it for today from the Election 2011 podcast. Remember, you can follow us on irishtimes.com/election2011. Follow us on Twitter as well @ITElection, or indeed you can even email us at election@irishtimes.com.